From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on The Field Trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with the most interesting people in arts and entertainment in the San Francisco Bay Area and Marin County. I'll chat with artists and singers, actors, writers, directors, and musicians, some of the people who make the Bay Area such a fun and fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. My guest on today's Field Trip is Marin artist Gertrude Parker. Ms. Parker was born in Vienna, Austria, and her family moved and settled in San Francisco. She received a political science degree from UC Berkeley before beginning her graduate studies in fiber crafts at the Pacific Basin School of Textiles in Berkeley, as well as at the Thérèse Gautier School in Montreal, a city that's very close to my own heart. Since 1972, she and her husband have made their home in Tiburon. Ms. Parker's work has been exhibited all over the United States, from Alaska to the White House, and in galleries internationally, and her works were also in permanent collections in Europe and Japan. Her early work was in fiber arts, and she's the founder and chairman of the board of the San Francisco Craft and Folk Art Museum. She appears in Who's Who in American Art, and in 2009 she was named by the Marin Arts Council as one of the most notable women artists in Marin during the past 50 years. Through September the 11th, the Sonoma County Art Museum is honoring Ms. Parker with a retrospective of her work entitled Gertrude Parker, an Artist and Collector. Women's Art Journal has described her recent sculptures as elegant and unique. This despite the fact that they're created from some quite unusual materials, which are not for the squeamish, and it's said that Ms. Parker's art collides the biological with the manufacturer's. Let's chat with her about it now. Please welcome to the Field Trip, Gertrude Parker. Welcome, Ms. Parker.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Great to have you on.
Now,
I know that early in your career, your work was in fiber arts, which most of us picture as knitting and weaving and sewing and stuff, but I understand that you were also involved in welding.
Well, I was involved with welding when I started to stop the fiber arts and move into the field of sculpture. It became a necessity to weld my own armatures, so I went to College of Marin and took a class in welding.
Did you like that?
Yes, I liked it. It was an unusual class. There were about four artists and the rest were all young kids. It was kind of funny.
I guess so. Well, I know in the 80s that you were influenced a lot by both Alaskan and Siberian folk artists, and you began experimenting with new materials. Can you describe that influence and those materials?
Well, yes, the influence actually came from an artist friend of mine, Pat Hickman, who was involved in doing research with the Inuit in Alaska, and they use the gut skins of whales and sea lions, big animals, for a long, long time to cover their boats with for waterproofing, and to make garments for waterproofing and parkas. And their spiritual people wore two or three or four parkas on top of each other. When they came to visit sick people, they made this rustling noise, and people felt that they were protected when they were going into the other world. And she started to work with gut skin as a medium for sculpture, small sculptures, together with Lillian Elliott, who was also a close friend of mine, and that started me.
And tell me about those materials, because I know they're a little different.
Well, what I work with use the sausage casings. They are really the intestines, skins of the intestines when they get cleaned out, and then people put sausage meat in it when they make sausages.
How do you work with it?
I buy them when they're already somewhat cleaned out. I don't like them when they're totally, when all the fibers are gone on the inside. But they come packed in brine, and I cut them open so that they lie flat, and then I dye them, which takes quite some time because you can't boil them, so you have to put them in dye and leave them sit until it takes, which can take anywhere from 5 days to 2 weeks to come out right. And then then you have to work with them while they are wet. I stretch them over an armature that I have created to what I want to do with.
How long have you been working in that right now?
Since, I guess since the middle 80s.
And did you get a lot of people who were skeptical or thought it was odd?
Well, no, they all kind of thought it was odd, but the material, when it's dry and dyed and stretched, doesn't really look like what it really is. When I work with it and it's wet, and it has a very different look and feeling, but they don't see that, really.
Tell me a little bit about the San Francisco Craft and Folk Art Museum.
It's still around. It's called MOCFA, Museum of Craft and Folk Art, and we started out on Balboa Street. My husband gave me a little building for using it in 1981, I think, or 82. And then we moved to Fort Mason for a long time, and then they moved to Yerba Buena Lane, and are doing fantastic, right opposite the Jewish Museum on Yerba Buena Lane. I'm not part of it other than in an honorary fashion, but they are doing a fantastic job.
They have exhibits there?
They have exhibits there, and attract a really young group, and have people standing in line on opening nights, and it's just really beautiful. It's Jennifer McCabe and Natasha Boas are the ones that are. Jennifer McCabe is the director, and Natasha Boas is the curator, and they're doing just a fantastic job.
Were you always interested in art as a child, or was it something that you came to later after school? Because I know you studied political science.
Yeah, but I was interested in art all the time, and I did fiber art, quote, ever since I was, I think, 5 years old.
I know that your interest in political science came out in the piece that you created for UNICEF's 50th anniversary in Paris, a piece of art called Please Stop.
Well, there was a group of artists. We were, I think, 8 or 10 of them that were asked to send a piece for UNICEF's 50th anniversary to France, and the subject was given to us as being human rights, and I created this piece that I really wanted to call it In the Name of Religion, but I decided that was too controversial, so I called it Please Stop. But it was at the time when there was a lot of fighting going on, so I called it Please Stop. And it has religious symbols of all three religions, Muslim, the Eye of Allah, and the black Jesus Christ on the cross, and a mezuzah for the Jewish religion. Hanging in sort of a church-like environment, and then it has skulls and bones out of gut skin.
Where's that piece now?
Well, that piece now is at the Sonoma County Museum on exhibit. They did not take it in Paris. They didn't take any of our pieces in Paris because the United States hadn't paid their dues to UNICEF. So Stanford University took that whole show in their house I've forgotten what they called it, but for foreign students, and that's where it was shown for about a month, and they turned my piece to the wall. I had got a phone call right after I delivered it that the piece was turned to the wall so nobody could see what's inside, after I picked it up, I think, a month later, and it was still turned to the wall, but there was no damage to it. Just okay.
How did that make you feel?
It made me feel like I made waves.
So you did your job as an artist.
Right. But I was worried about what I was going to get back, but I thought I might just as well leave it alone at that time. But it was also shown in Los Angeles at a downtown museum, not one of the big museums, but it's a museum way downtown in Los Angeles, in the Standard Oil Building, I think. And there was a show there also about human rights or freedoms or something like that, and they showed that also.
Well, I know that the exhibit, the retrospective of your work in Sonoma County at the museum there, features art that you and your husband have collected over the decades. Can you tell us a bit about that art?
Well, we've been collecting art since early 70s or even before. I think it started in the 60s, but it got very more serious in the early 70s. we started out collecting Mexican art, and then we met a French dealer on a vacation in Mazatlan, and we were going to Mexico City to buy some, to look at some Mexican art, and he said, you must meet the widow of an artist who was born in Vienna, Austria, and who is just, he's passed away, but she has all the works, and just go there, tell him I sent you, and that started us on the surrealist end of collecting art, and from there came everything else, really.
And you collect some of the art from the 50s?
Bruce Conner, only Bruce Conner. We have quite a number of his works. One of them is on display in Sonoma. Yes, just because I liked everything he did, practically. So we have some of his collages, and we have some drawing that he did in Mexico. And I had met him once, but not when we collected art, just on a later occasion. And I even have his movies. He made some wonderful films and I bought those too.
Well, I know that you know a little bit about movies. I believe your son is a filmmaker.
Yes, my son is a wonderful filmmaker, and his last film was called Untitled, and it's about untitled, like an art piece is untitled, and it is a takeoff on art, and a very good one.
Well, how fitting.
Yes, it runs on the family.
So tell me this, what makes the Bay Area special for you? Why do you, you've lived here a long time. What is it, the one or two things that really make it special for you?
Well, I think the arts is really one. First of all, the reason that Museum of Craft and Folk Art came into being is because we used to go to New York an awful lot, and every time we went there we saw exhibitions that included Bay Area artists, mostly in the fiber arts, which is what I was really involved in. And they all exhibited there, and there wasn't a single place here that would feature them. So that's how that came into being. But I think that the atmosphere of the arts and good food and a very European type of style of living is what makes the Bay Area so wonderful.
I agree with you.
Good.
The retrospective is at the Sonoma County Museum through September 11th. If you would like more information on Gertrude Parker, you can find it at gertrudeparker.com. That's GERTRUDPARKER.com. I urge you to go and see the exhibit. And Ms. Parker, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you. That's Gertrude Parker, everyone. Well, thanks for joining me today on The Field Trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet, featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that The Field Trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. on Comcast Cable Channel 26, on your computer at radiosausalito.org, or 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends. If you didn't, please tell your enemies. So until next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.
We hope you enjoyed the preceding Radio Sausalito presentation. You'll find more great jazz programming and podcasts updated every week online at radiosausalito.org.